The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Parents from more than 30 primary and secondary schools in South Dublin have come together to attend events which are focused on safeguarding children online. One event entitled Help Protect Your Children Online involved leading experts from child protection, education and politics discussing the urgent need for stronger online protection legislation. Owen Cleary is a teacher and assistant principal, was a keynote speaker of the Gen Free, Free to Be Kids campaign, and is one of the individuals calling for immediate legislation. He's on the line. And in studio with me is Mary Lovegrove, who's calling for parents to band together and pledge to delay giving children smartphones. So we're going to talk to each about their experience. But first of all, online, we have Owen. Owen, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How's it going? Good to talk to you.
Now, you are pushing a very large boulder up a very steep hill, one suspects.
Yes, absolutely. This is a fight that we're having against the biggest conglomerate corporations in the world who have absolutely no interest in the welfare of our children and only want to make profit and are currently making profit at the cost of the damage that they're doing to our children's welfare. And we need governments to do something about it. And I suppose until governments do something about it, we're trying to encourage and support parents just to delay their children getting access to the online world, or more importantly, delaying the online world getting access to their children until those regulations are put in place.
Now, there are two aspects to this. One is just depriving the young people, be they children or teens or whatever, of access to the internet. And maybe there are tech solutions to that. And then there's the maybe just stopping them having any kind of digital platforms, be it laptop, be it tablet or be it mobile phone.
Well, look, yeah, and I want to be clear, this isn't about depriving children of access to the internet. It's making a safe online environment for children to engage on online. I mean, we know that online interaction with children, it can be fantastic in terms of the creativity it allows them, the education, the access to engage with their rights. And it's just about making sure that when they do go online, there are restrictions in place and regulation in place so that they don't get exposed to things like pornography, extremely violent content, unsolicited contact by strangers, predatory activities by adults, inappropriate messaging on their health and well-being, disinformation, misinformation, bullying, and all the features of the addiction-based model that these companies are using to hook kids into their products.
What is your proposal to government that they should do? I mean, are there technical solutions that would achieve all of that?
So, like right now, there aren't technical solutions that are available to the public. But of course, there are technical solutions that are capable of doing it. I mean, we've managed to regulate the gambling industry. We've managed to regulate the banking industry. If we can do that for the entire population of the planet, we can definitely create online safe spaces for children to be able to interact on. The problem is that there just isn't the impetus there, that the companies aren't motivated to do it. Because even though, and this is really important to say, even though the companies say that nobody under the age of 13 is using their social media platforms, we know that in Ireland, because of CyberSafe Kids report, we know that 82% of 8 to 12 year olds in Ireland have their own social media. And we know that in America in 2022 alone, those social media companies made over $2 billion from ad revenue targeted at under 12s. So they know that children are using them, but they're not doing anything about it.
Yeah. So how do you rein in the activities of the social media companies? We know that, for example, in Brazil, there was that spat between X and the Brazilian government, and they were brought to heel by the Brazilian government. So the question is, does Europe have the appetite or the interest in maybe doing the simple thing, which is to turn the platforms into publishers, and then they are responsible for every single thing that appears on those platforms? And they are therefore actionable against. I mean, that might be one way. If they do harm, they have to answer financially for that harm.
Pat, you have nailed it on the head right there. That is the absolute key. We have got to make the platforms responsible for what happens on them. And I don't know if everybody's aware of that at the moment, but like right now, the crimes that are being perpetrated against children, you know, in my school every day online, there's nobody being held accountable for them because there is a loophole where tech companies are not responsible for what happens between children, to anybody on their platforms. Now, that was done to try and innovate at the very beginning of the internet, but we didn't realize at that stage that 30% of internet users were going to be children. And now that we do know that, we absolutely have to make the internet a safe space for those children. And you're right, we just need to pass legislation to make the tech companies criminally responsible for the crimes that they are facilitating.
One of my colleagues often remarks that in maybe 10 or 15 years from now, we'll be looking back at this era and we'll be looking at older people who are parents in this era and saying, what, you gave your phone? Your child a mobile phone? How could you do that? That's like giving them a cigarette at the age of 10.
Yeah, I'd go further than that, actually. And I mean, we all know what's happening with, you know, the state knowing what was done in Magdalen Laundries, for example, and now having to apologise and make up for that. I imagine that the next generation of young people are going to look back, and if they find out that the state knew the damage that was being caused to them and they did nothing about it, there'll be a very similar process for them when they get to adulthood, because the damage that's being done is very, very real. And we're seeing it play out in our classrooms across the country.
Have any of the social media companies kind of put their hands up and said, yeah, we know there is harm being done and we're trying to curb it? I mean, in this era of Zuckerberg, you know, bowing the knee to Trump and following in X's footsteps, you become a bit despairing of what is coming down the tracks. I mean, from our point of view, you know, news alone, not knowing what is true, what is false anymore is one thing. But then the damage to children is on a completely different level.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they say that they're doing as much as they can, but they're not. We know, for example, that there are almost 70 lawsuits against Snapchat in the US at the moment for directly facilitating the sale of fentanyl to their children that directly resulted in their death. And talking to the students in my school in second year and third year, they know that Snapchat is where you go to buy drugs. So like the same thing is happening here, but they're not doing enough to protect them from it. And that isn't even talking about the impact that porn is having on their sexual development and the expectations that children now have. Because of the amount that we know that 1 in 10 9-year-olds is exposed to porn. And by the time that they're finished primary school, the majority of children have been exposed to it. And in the absence of any of them talking about that, and because of the report that was released last year by the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute here in Ireland, we know that porn directly impacts the increase of violence against women and girls. Like, for example, in 2012, before the majority of adolescents owned a smartphone in Ireland, there was 72 sexually violent crimes perpetrated by under 18-year-olds. Last year, that was 462. And that does not include the 3,500 of those cases that didn't make it to a courtroom.
It's quite extraordinary. But then on the one hand, you have politicians who pay lip service to the ability to, or their ambition maybe to control these platforms. And yet they remain on these platforms themselves because they say it's a vital tool of the political trade. I heard that yesterday on the Anton Savage show.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they have to live in the real world like the rest of us do as well. But I just don't see why I do see why we are currently at a tipping point. It feels like where more and more parents are getting to realize the risk and politicians are getting to hear it more and more on the doorstep, and they know the damage it's causing. And that will, but unfortunately, for politicians to take action, parents and society in general has to demand that they do. And that is starting to happen.
Now, that's the cue for Mary, Mary Lovegrove, who's a co-organizer of Delay Smartphones and or Social Media into Secondary Schools. Mary, you're listening to that conversation and you're kind of nodding your head. All the bad stuff you're hearing from Owen is the stuff that you already kind of know is out there, lying in wait for your kids.
Yeah, and until we get these platforms safe, what can we do now? So I have two children. My eldest is my son and he's 12. He's in sixth class, so he's due to start first year in September.
Does he have a phone?
No. So it's been fairly easy because he's still in primary school and a lot of his friends don't have phones, and the school that he's in, it's been fairly easy to manage that. But now that he's approaching first year, there's this expectation that he'll automatically get a phone. And we feel really uneasy about this. We just dread the idea of the fact that we feel that we have or forced to give him a phone. But when we chat to other parents at the school gate, the sense is that we all dread this idea, but we feel we have very little choice. Because
you feel like you're poisoning his cornflakes.
Pretty much. Yeah. And but we don't want, the reason I think why parents are giving their kids phones in the first place is because everybody else will have one. And naturally, as parents, we don't want our kids to be the only one without one. So how about if, like, the fact that we hate this idea and we're doing it because we feel we have very little choice. How about we, as a collective group of parents, we agree to flip that and agree to delay?
You set up a WhatsApp group with that in mind. And what kind of response did you get?
So my son is due to start in September and he got his place in November last year. And I set up a WhatsApp group specifically for his particular school. And we just called it Delay Smartphones and or Social Media. And we described it as a space for you as a, if your son or if your child is going to this school and you are thinking about delaying, this is a space for you to know that there will be other children in your child's year. And within a matter of days, 100 parents signed up. And that's just one school. And then I've since had 10 other people contact me and they've set up similar groups for their own schools.
So this is, if you like, a bottom-up organisation where you've got parents who recognise the danger. Possibly they already have older children and they've seen the damage it's done and they want to try and delay. It is difficult, though, if an older child has a phone. Are they likely to say, don't give a phone to my younger sibling?
Yes, that's definitely happening. A lot of older, I was talking to one 17-year-old there the other day and he says that his sister's about to start first year and he kind of, when he looks back, he kind of wishes he didn't have one.
Yeah. There is some information about kids when they're polled, would you like a mobile phone if nobody else had one? And the answer is no.
Yeah, and I think my son hates the idea now of not getting a phone. But he knows that it'll be much easier for him if other people in his class won't have one.
So if nobody in his first year class has a phone, then it's fine.
Or even if the percentage. I mean, I think that there's going to be, he's jumping from a school of, I think there's about 20 in his class and there'll be 160 in his year. So even imagine if we could, 40 or 50 of those students don't have phones. That's a really good start.
Now, as I say, it's a ground up kind of campaign by you and it's already got some traction. What about political reaction to this? Have you had any contact with local politicians?
Not really yet. We invited to the talk that we had. We had Barry Ward came and he spoke about the legalities and what we
elected,
needed. Yes, he was senator at the time. It's just before the election. And so he spoke about what parents need to know when it comes to, about safeguarding our children online and how we need to behave as young people online as well. But yes, if I talk to any politician or councillor, they kind of say, yes, I'm in the same boat myself. My child is in first, second, third year, whatever. And I've also had to give in. But I think we have a lot more. My main message today is as parents, we have a lot more power than we realise. And if we could just agree, even a proportion of us could agree to delay, we can start to change that norm.
Now, Owen, the schools themselves, they often have rules, which I don't know whether they're obeyed 100% or whether people have a burner phone, which they use having maybe handed up their official phone. But I suppose the occasional breach of the rules is always going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And the school I work in, we have a great relationship with our students and they know that they're not allowed to have phones during the school day. Of course, some of them will have it in their pocket or they'll be caught the odd time in the toilets using them. But en masse, they don't. And it's great in our school. I know there are schools that have, you know, find it much more difficult. So the students spending their lunch break on their phone are going through between classes on their phone. And that's obviously hugely problematic, not just because of the content on the phone, but because of what it's denying them of in terms of social interaction and engagement with their peers. And that's a huge problem because we know now that, like before COVID even hit us, we know that in Ireland from 2012 to 2018, the rates of anxiety and depression among teenagers had doubled. And that's exactly in line with the time when the majority of adolescent ownership of smartphones occurred as well. So, you know, schools are taking steps. And of course, there's going to be the exceptions. But really, it's really what happens after school, at home, in bed, at night, every night. Like the percentage of children that have, it's over the 80% that are allowed to bring their phone to bed with them at night, every night. And I suppose my question to parents is, and I don't want to guilt or shame parents, but we've got to start thinking about this. Like, who else do you let into bed with your child at night, every night, to talk to them? For hours on end.
I mean, it's the digital version of the child catcher.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And the problem is, and that's a crazy image and I hadn't thought of it before, but the problem now is that the child catcher is now in over 80% of the bedrooms of children in Ireland. And that's really worrying.
Some of the texts coming in, this is great, and you know it doesn't need to be a boulder up a hill, but you do need a tribe. I'm a parent of a teenage boy in second year who does not have a phone. We know it's time to act, as the no denying the impact of social media on our children and teenagers. It's fantastic to hear the momentum is growing, because it's hard for teenagers to be the only ones. I believe including them in discussions and decisions to be a phone smart family is key. Secondary schools see the damage, so I would advocate they establish a reward system where students who hold off or delay smartphones get something back. It got tougher for my son, who loves money, so to buy a few more months, I now give him a small, no phone, worst mother in the world, monthly compensation. Congratulations, it's so good for your first year starting to have such big numbers signed up. You are right, we will look back at this and gasp at the damage caused in childhood. And thank you again for the discussion. So many calls coming in. You know, you're pushing all the right buttons, I think, Mary.
Yeah, I mean, we were blown away. The event that we organised with Owen sold out in a matter of days. 220 parents from over 30 schools signed up. And then the fact that 100 parents have already signed up. Now, we have to figure out exactly what we're going to do and get our ducks in a row before we approach the school. But there's definitely an interest in delaying.
All right. And final words from you, Owen.
Yeah, just on that part, just about the momentum that's happening. I've been giving these talks for about 8 years and there's definitely something happening just this year. Like, I'm giving a talk now every single week in different schools around Dublin, around Wicklow and around the country. So there's definitely a movement happening nationwide. And it's just important that, particularly in the final stages of our programme for government being finalised, that the new government commits to creating a safe online space for children. Because the question is, why wouldn't they?
Well, final text from Kira. Thank you for discussing this issue. Let children be children. Let us parents protect them until they're ready for them. Easier if all parents agree to delay collectively, everyone then on the same level. My thanks to Mary Lovegrove and to Owen Cleary for joining us on this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.